I want to get you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 4. Well, 150 Psalms, and as I'm preaching through the Word of God, it's not very practical to try to cover all 150 Psalms, so I have chosen Psalm 4 and a specific part of Psalm 4 that we're going to look at here in just a moment. But I want to first of all try to introduce where I'm going with what we're going to be examining in God's Word tonight. I don't know about you, but when I pillow my head at night, that is a peaceful time for me to stop and kind of reflect. As I'm just about to close my eyes, or as I'm resting and my mind is just kind of going through the day's events, I'm thinking about what all's happened during the day, whatever day it may be. The day is over. Fixing to rest myself for the next day that is coming. And so I think about all that's happened. And you know, our bedrooms is a good place to do that. And it's a place where there's some privacy for us. Generally, when we pillow our heads at night, everything else is silent in the house. And it is a time for us unlike any other time. It's a privileged moment for us to stop and just to reflect upon what God has done and how good God really is. And I think that's what David does here in Psalm 4. Because of what we find right at the end of the psalm, verses 7 and 8. And before you close your eyes tonight, what I want to encourage you to do is not only to think back upon what we're fixing to look at in the Word of God, but to think about what God is for you and how good God is to you as an individual. In Psalm chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, here is what David writes. He says, "You have put gladness in my heart, more than their wine or their grain and new wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, have made me to dwell in safety." I want you to think about those words for just a moment. Let them sink in. Because as we look at this, there's something that I hope for each one of you. I hope that your day today, I hope every day for you is this way. I know they're not, but I hope that your day has been a day that has brought you gladness. As David writes this, he says, "You have put gladness in my heart." I hope God has put gladness in your heart today. Not just any gladness, but a superior gladness, a gladness that the world cannot truly offer. It is a gladness that is superior to all of the temporal things that we find around us. David said, more than their grain, or the King James uses the word corn and wine, more than the temporal things that this world has to offer, I pray that God has put gladness in your heart. Because the truth is, if you're a Christian and you're seated here tonight, folks, Christ is better in your heart than all of the fruits of the world combined. When David here speaks about grain or corn and wine, he's talking about the temporal things that God provides in this world. And those things are good, but the gladness that God brings into our lives, God's favor, God's countenance, David believed, and I do too, that those things are far better than what this world has to offer. I love the blessing that we find in Numbers chapter 6. Because in Numbers chapter 6, Aaron speaks a blessing on the children of Israel. We find it down in verse 24, going through verse 26. It's one that you hear quite often. Oftentimes, I will use it at a wedding ceremony. But he says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." When God does that for us, there is nothing else in this world that can compare. It's one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in a setting of God's people. "The Lord bless you and keep you." And then you have it followed up by the sevenfold Amen. Beautiful song. I used to love to listen to it in chapel as it would be sung, usually in a chapel setting at Lipscomb as I was a student there. That is one of my favorites. But here is something I want to communicate with you tonight. Folks, the world, those who are outside of Christ, feed upon the scraps that fall from God's table. But you, as Christians, you feed upon God's bounty. You are blessed beyond measure. And that's something that David understood. And it's something that all of us need to take to heart once in a while. Your reward is something that is beyond dollars and cents. You cannot put a price tag upon the reward that God has for you. The eye of faith is able to see further than the eye of sense, the physical eye, because we see something that is beyond this world. We see something that is better than what this world has to offer. We see something that sustains beyond life itself. You have a happiness that earthly things just cannot reproduce. You have a peace of conscience which only God can provide. When you put on Christ in obedience to His truth, you put on Christ and were buried in Christ, suddenly, you had peace in your conscience. No longer was the guilt of sin bearing upon you. No longer were you having to carry the weight of a load that once weighed you down. You took His yoke upon you, and you found it to be one that was light and easy to bear. That peace is something that we often pray for even. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says there that we're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. And he says that the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, it's a peace that we can't begin to truly understand. We can't describe. But he says it's the peace that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You have that. You have the comfort of the Holy Spirit in your lives. Remember what Jesus said to His disciples, that He had to go away, that unless He went, He could not send to them the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And then when we look at passages like 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, and we see Paul talking about how God comforts us and then allows us to be comfort to others. Paul's prayer for the Thessalonian church in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, where he prays for their comfort and that they would comfort one another. And all of that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. You know, what this earth provides, the bounty of this earth, cannot begin to match the Spirit's bounty in your life as a child of God. And so what David does is he contrasts two different things. He contrasts material prosperity with spiritual prosperity. And he says that there is no real contrast. It's good to be material blessed by God, but to be spiritually blessed by God. To know God's joy, God's gladness. Nothing can compare. And if you are here tonight and you are a Christian, and you have that gladness in your heart, that joy in your heart because of what God has done in your life, there is nothing that can compare to what's in your heart and what's in your soul that God has put there. But something else that David says here is what we find concerning this peace. He says, in peace, I will both lay down. King James says, translation says, lay myself down and sleep. There are a number of things which come out of a life based upon trust in God, a life lived in constantly trusting God and knowing that He is in charge of your life. One of those is deliverance from evil. Isn't that what Jesus taught us to pray? Deliver us from evil. Isn't that what Paul said God does for us? He literally puts a hedge about us. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we are able to bear. He delivers us. He delivers us from the bondage of sin. He delivers us from Satan's power. But we have that deliverance. We have an assurance. And this is something that he brings out here in the very first verse of this psalm. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. David says this, but David knows God hears me. I don't know that there's anything better in the world than to know that when I speak to God, when I pray to God, God hears me. He listens. There's a lot of people in this world that don't listen. Don't listen to us. Sometimes you wonder if your children are listening to you. Sometimes you wonder, did your spouse, hear what you just said? And we as men are sometimes accused of having selective listening, are we not? But God listens and God hears. Not only that, we have God's favor. In verse 3, he brings it out. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. God has set you apart for himself. You have the favor of God upon you. The world doesn't enjoy that. You have joy. Some translations use verse 7 and translate it as gladness of heart. Others just simply refer to it as joy of heart. The original word means both. You have peace. We've already talked about that. And then you have something else. You have a safety that is there. A safety that God provides. And then we have something that we cherish. At least I do, and I hope you do as well. I cherish the assurance that when I pillow my head at night, when I lay down, when I close my eyes, God is going to keep me through the night. And even if I die in my sleep, God is going to keep me through the night. You know? Remember that little prayer that we, at least I used to remember praying? Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. There is the assurance that God is watching over us regardless of what may happen to us. We have the assurance that He's with us. And the beautiful thing in what David is saying here, because if you look at the middle of the psalm, and some of the things he says, verse 2, he says, O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? There are those that are enemies of David, and yet as David writes this psalm, David is not calling out to God for vengeance upon his enemies. I think what David is really doing is David is saying, in essence, bring them to a better mind. Let them see how much better to have these things from you is than what they are presently pursuing. You have something, folks. You have something that the world doesn't have. And the world, when they truly come to see what you have, they envy you. And our goal is not to ask God to call down vengeance from heaven upon those that are our enemies and those that mistreat us. We're to pray for them. But it is, let them see how good things are when people are serving you, when people are honoring you with their lives. May we be such in our own lives that when others look at us, they see something that they want. And they want so desperately that they want to know what it is. But when you have that in your life, when you pillow your head at night tonight, instead of distress and worry, sleep comes quickly. David says, I will lay me down. King James translation, I will lay myself down. And he immediately says, and sleep. It's as if what David is saying, when I pillow my head, when my head hits the pillow, I go to sleep. I don't worry. I don't become engrossed in the things I have no control over. I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to commit your affairs to the Lord, to trust Him, to be content to leave the issues of life with Him when you go to sleep at night. It's okay to say as you pillow your head, Lord, I've done everything I can today, but this matter is in Your hands. I'm laying this at Your feet. I'm asking You to take charge of this. I'm asking You to bring about what is best here. And then you sleep. In Psalm 22, verse 8, David would write, commit yourself to the Lord. Let Him deliver him. Let Him rescue him because He delights in him. And then in Psalm 37, verse 5, again we find these words, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do it. What David does, and what each one of us have to learn to do if we are not doing it already, is to commit to put our lives, to put our situations into the hands of someone who neither slumbers nor sleeps, as Psalm 121 brings out. And that's God. God is constantly awake. You and I, we sleep. And where there is a complete absence of care, there is a full exercise of trust. We have come to a point where we trust God so that we don't worry. In our hearts we say, I'm going to sleep tonight because I'm leaving the cares of tomorrow to God. I know He will care for me. He will bring about. And all of us have to lie down. All of us have to sleep. If for no other reason, it's because we're just completely exhausted. But the question I have for you is this. Is your sleep, is your rest one of peace? Do you, when you pillow your head at night, do you lie down in peace? Because as a Christian, that's what you ought to be able to do. If we have peace in our souls, we can. We don't have to worry about every rustling sound that goes on around us. Peter said that we are to cast our anxiety or our cares upon Him because He cares for us. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. This may not be good. It may not be something I should do. But folks, when tornadoes come through at night, I go to bed, I close my eyes, and if the house is taken away, it's taken away. But I sleep. I sleep. Trains come through this town, I sleep. I trust God. Regardless of what may happen, I trust Him, knowing that He's going to care for me one way or the other. But when all is said and done, the bottom line, and this is what David brings out, if you'll notice right here at the end of this psalm, verse 8, You alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. You see, it's only in the Lord that these things happen. Folks, seek praise of God. Seek God's praise. Let the world go by. Don't worry about all of the things going on around us. Learn to trust God and depend upon Him and to seek His will. Other people in this world are going to fail you. Others are going to let you down, but God is sufficient to care for you. And when God is caring for you, when God is sustaining you, then there is no pillow that you can find in this world that is as soft as the promises that He gives to you. There is no blanket that is so warm as the assurances that He brings in your life and the interest that He has in you. And one of the things that David is saying, what we've just looked at here in verse 8, can be interpreted in one of two ways. One, David is saying, God alone gives me protection. It's God alone who is watching out for me. Or the other way of interpreting the last part of this verse is that God makes me to dwell in safety even when I am alone. Either way is a correct translation of this last part of this verse. And regardless of all of this, regardless of which way you understand it, the thing that I think is most important is the minuteness of God's personal care in the lives of His people. God's love is an individual love. He loves the church. He loves the body of Christ. He loves the assembly of the saints, but He loves each individual. He loves each one of us. Because that's the God we serve. He watches over not only the great, but He also stoops and He acts on behalf of the little ones as well. So never think, God couldn't be concerned about me, because God is concerned about you. He cares about you. He sent His Son to die for you. And tonight, as you reflect upon these things that we've examined over these last few minutes, I pray that the rest that you find as you pillow your head is a sweet rest. It is a rest of gladness of heart. And I pray that peace and security, which God provides, will be that which comforts your soul as you pillow your head tonight. I pray, however, that if you find gladness to be distant from your heart, if you find that peace and security is absent from your soul, that you stop and ask yourself a question. Why? Why? Is it because I have yet to return to the shepherd and bishop or guardian of my soul? Is it because I have not yet named Him as my Lord and Savior and been buried with Him in baptism so that He can take away the guilt and give me a conscience of peace so that His Holy Spirit can comfort me through all of the things that I will face in this life? If that is your case, if that speaks to you, then why in the world would you want to continue in the life that you've chosen? Why not turn away from that life and come to the only life which can truly grant you rest, sweet rest, and peace that surpasses all understanding? We sing every time an encouragement song. We call it an invitation song, but literally it's God's invitation. We're just adding to it by singing to encourage. Tonight we're going to do more of the same. We're going to invite you yet again, come. If you need to put Christ on in baptism, repenting of sin and confessing His sweet name, please, won't you come right now as we stand and sing.